Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, that's one of our goals. We talk about it every week, is coming away with 7 points when we're down there. We've done a good job, I think, throughout the year of executing plays and then making some off-schedule plays as well. So there's a lot of confidence that once we get down there, like I said, that we'll find a way to make a play. Sometimes it comes early in the set of downs. Sometimes, like last week, it was late on third down, John New making a heck of a play in the corner of the end zone. So you combine that with Derek, you know, obviously running hard each and every play, and there's a lot of different weapons we can use.
A lot of people don't sound like they look. I think Ryan Tannehill sounds exactly like he looks.
Like, that guy talking has a really short haircut. He's 6'2", 6'3". Pretty athletic. Like, that's how that guy sounds to me.
If I'd never seen him play football and you just played that clip and then you gave me 20 people, pictures of them, and say, who's this? I could correctly pick which one was Ryan Tannehill talking.
I'd buy that.
It just looks like he sounds.
Yeah. If, Mahomes is not, though, by the way, his opponent.
No. He'd be the last one I would pick lineup.
What? That guy?
That's the one. That's Kermit the Frog. If somehow the Titans win the Super Bowl, Tannehill would probably be, I would say, on the Trent Dilfer side of the ledger. I mean, Brad Johnson's had a better NFL career as a Pro Bowler in 99, pre-Super Bowl, than Ryan Tannehill. Like, Joe Flacco has even, for all of the, you and I knock him, he had better runs, maybe better numbers. I think Tannehill might be the second least respected quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl behind, in front of, I should say, only Trent Dilfer.
Especially in the modern era? I'd buy that.
Period. Who
else?
That.
Oh, I'm sure there's like some jag back in the day that I couldn't even pull. Who, like, you know, some.
I mean, we know the guys that won Super Bowls, like Hostetler, maybe.
No, I mean, like in the 60s or 70s, maybe some guy came in and was a jag. No, I mean, you're probably right. I mean, Dilfer's guy that's the ultimate one of these guys. Your defense is one of the greatest of all time. You literally just have to take, you know, 35 snaps. Don't do anything. Do nothing. Do less.
And in fairness to him, he protected the football,
uh-huh,
and he threw some touchdowns. 22 touches, 6 picks this year, 2,700 yards in a dozen games on the field for the Titans. Do you want to know who Fiona picked yesterday, or should it be a surprise on TV tonight?
I do not. She ate dog food from a bowl, so she didn't pick anybody. She ate food from a bowl.
There was peanut butter. That's not completely dog food.
Okay.
And there were some bones. That is dog food.
It was in a dog bowl, therefore it's dog food. It's
for those, like, of you that don't know what we're talking about, my dog yesterday taped a segment that's going to air tonight at 10 o'clock on DC Sports Live on NBC Sports Washington after the Wizards game, where they had her come in and pick the AFC and NFC championship games. And I'll just tell you, Fiona didn't go chalk. There was an upset taken by Fiona. One of the two games surprised me a little bit. I wouldn't have made the pick. But perhaps, Danny, she knows what she's talking about.
Or, you have to keep in mind, she didn't either. She just ate some food from a dog bowl.
No.
Let's always keep that in mind.
Like, shtick aside, I did have her watch the games with me this weekend. She was on the couch.
Shtick aside is a great bit to then say that she watched the games.
No, she did. I like, when she would fall asleep, I would wake her. I would, like, kind of ruffle her feathers a bit and then make her watch the game.
Scouting.
Can I just say, Fiona wants Darren Thom to be extremely happy for the Super Bowl.
I think she does. She was on Team Dar and Team Thom.
She wants what's best for everyone.
She did an okay job, I would say. There was a lot of running around the studio, and mm-hmm, we had to take a couple of takes because for the AFC Championship game at first, she walked up, she put her head in both bowls, she ate nothing.
Mm.
She ate nothing. She didn't love that game that much.
Right.
I'll just tell you, the team she picked in the NFC title game, she's got winning the whole thing because she dominated everything in that bowl. So make sure you tune in tonight, NBC Sports Washington, 10 o'clock, if you want to see my French Bulldog make her television debut. A lot of great players remaining. Let's just make a quick list of the best players on the field this weekend. We'll go back and forth. I'll start. Pat Mahomes, number one, best quarterback, still remaining in these playoffs.
Got to go Derrick Henry, probably number two, right? The run he's on?
I'll actually stay with the Chiefs, weirdly enough. I'll go Travis Kelce third. I think he is uncheckable. You know how everyone says you can't guard Mike because Mike Thomas's Twitter handles can't guard Mike?
That is correct, yes.
Travis Kelce should be can't guard Travis. That guy is good.
Well, I'll stay at that same position and give you George Kittle. You don't know what they're going to do because he's busy right now just blocking a linebacker out of bounds to set up a nice run game. And he's catching passes behind the defense.
You took us to San Francisco, so I'll stay in San Francisco.
Stay there.
Nick Bosa.
Oh, sure.
Game wrecker. That guy could take games over. His brother Joey was taken in the top five. So was he. Nick Bosa last year stopped playing for Ohio State. Wasn't completely healthy. And instead of rehabbing and rushing himself back, he said, I'm good. I'll just go in the top three in the draft. Smart decision. Should be in the Pro Bowl every year. Special player. Nick Bosa is going to have a sack and a half and three TFLs.
A little Devontae Adams on the offensive side of the things for the Green Bay Packers. That's their best option in the passing game, as evidenced by all the catches and all the yards.
You want a Packer? I'll give you a Packer.
Give me a Packer.
Za'Darius Smith.
Oh, sure.
By the way, so much better than I knew he was. I knew that last year he put up some numbers, kind of came on strong with the Baltimore Ravens out of relative obscurity. Now, you look at the early part of his career. Rookie in 2015, 5.5 sacks. The next year he had one. The year after that, 3.5. In a contract year, fourth year last season, he had 8.5 sacks. But this was a guy that was drafted 122nd overall in the fourth round from?
Oh, no idea.
Kentucky.
No clue on Za'Darius Smith.
Went to Kentucky. Then he gets signed by the Packers. They paid him a bunch of money. Not quite Preston Smith money, but close.
Yeah.
And the Smith boys on each side coming and rushing the quarterback were going to be the dudes that changed their defense. That plan worked beautifully.
25.5 sacks between them.
How about 13.5 for Za'Darius? Wow, what a year he's had. And it's not just that. I mean, he plays the run really well. He harasses
he's
quarterbacks.
Terrific.
Yeah, he's awesome. So I'll throw him in there.
You know, another good player is Aaron Rodgers for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh,
we didn't
Rodgers.
Mention him yet. Yeah, Rodgers.
Yeah, he's
Rodgers.
Not bad.
Rodgers.
Is it too early in the conversation for me to mention like Eric Armstead or another one of those big pass rushers from San Francisco?
No, because you can. Let's just go the whole San Francisco defensive line while we're here.
How is anyone going to block them? Green Bay's got the best chance of anybody. But I don't know how they're going to do it. Armstead this year as a down defensive lineman. He's essentially like a end in a 4-3. But 10 sacks for him to go along with all the havoc in the backfield.
I love DeForest Buckner, by the way. I feel like that guy is one of those dudes that you'd love to see in person because he's just so big. You know, like remember how we couldn't take our eyes off Montez Sweat down at training camp?
Oh, I remember.
Buckner's like that. It looks different. He's 6'7", man. He's 6'7".
I find myself generally annoyed when this guy does well because I don't think he's a good person. Tyreek Hill is a great football player.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Tyreek Hill is so, so exceptional. So fast, so lethal, ball in his hands and it's curtains. Got to give Tyreek Hill a little credit here in the top of the conversation as best players on the field this weekend.
I'll throw this is a little bit more obscure because it's not as sexy as some of these other names here. But Jarrell Casey on the defensive line.
It's a good one.
For the Tennessee Titans. They are, again, their best pass rusher. Harold Landry's got 9 sacks. Nothing about that scares you.
Is he the second-year guy from Boston College that I'm thinking of that they drafted in the first round last year?
I can't remember if he went to BC or not.
That was Harold Landry.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Harold
that's
Landry.
That's what you mentioned. Yeah. So, Harold Landry is the second-year pass rusher.
Yeah, out of BC.
Yes,
that's right, the linebacker. But Casey just is always in the middle of stuff, right? The middle of the defense, defensive tackle, tackles for loss. He does everything for them. It's kind of all him in the middle.
That's a good enough list of the best players on the field this weekend. And if we missed anyone, feel free to tweet us and tell us, hey, what about this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to give a little credit real quick to A.J. Brown, just because I think probably the only rookie receiver better than Terry McLaurin this year.
He had slightly
better numbers. I'm not convinced that McLaurin wouldn't have done more maybe with the opportunities that Brown had, but they're neck and neck as the guys from that class going into year two. The reason we played that little game and ran through that exercise is, while there are stunning talents all over the place on Sunday, we want to find the X factor who's going to determine both games. So we are dabbling down. I wouldn't say even that it's got to be a non-starter. It just has to be a non-household name. And I would point to the regular season and say someone that did not have a big regular season for these teams. So it's a little bit arbitrary, but we want an X factor who's going to break out and shine in each game who you think could make the difference that people are not talking about going in. 800-636-1067. even in the case of like Tannehill or Garoppolo, I think that doesn't work because they're quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're going to be featured on the storyline before the game. Et cetera,
so right? Let's go Titans Chiefs first. Who's your guy?
Ooh, I'm going to say for the Chiefs, Mecole Hardman. This is an X factor. This is a guy that people are going to see outrageous amounts of speed from. He changed that game once in the previous round. Once Houston decided to go for the field goal, sap momentum that way, and then Mecole Hardman's kick return that put Kansas City in scoring range. Those sequences, that back-to-back set of plays, launched Kansas City to their 51 points basically in three quarters. That guy's an X factor. He's like their fourth or fifth option in the receiving game. They'll run something gimmicky for him, but he's a game changer. He's that fast.
I'm going to go with a Titan, even though I think the Chiefs win. So maybe this makes it a closer game.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end Jonnu Smith.
He can play, man.
24 years old from Florida International in his third season. He caught 18 passes in 2017 and just 20 last year. He bumped that all the way up to 35 catches this year. A 400-yard tight end. A guy that, if you look at his regular season numbers, he's mostly in like the 3-5 catch range late in the year. He averaged less than that per contest. And he's got 3 catches for a total of 21 yards in 2 playoff games so far. One of them was that unbelievable touchdown
catch
for 12 yards in the corner of the end zone against the Ravens early on this past Saturday night. But I think Jonnu Smith could go out and go like 6 for 77. If they decide that they're just going to stack the box with 8 and 9 on obvious running downs and turn 14 from Derrick Henry into 4 or 5 falling forward, then you're setting up play action on running downs.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that means heavy packages. That means multi-tight ends. So he's going to get some targets. So give me Jonnu Smith in that Titans-Chiefs game. I like your call on Mecole Hardman. We'll pick a player from the NFC Championship game and we'll take the calls next. We're looking for the guy that nobody's talking about who could be an X factor this weekend. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
I like where we're at, but ultimately it doesn't matter. I mean, we're just focused on day-to-day preparation, trying to get a little bit better each and every day, and making sure that we know the plan inside and out, know the details of the plan. But ultimately, we got to go out there and perform on Sunday.
That's Matt LaFleur, the former Redskins quarterbacks coach, who's in his first season as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Either he or his former boss here in Washington, Kyle Shanahan, will be coaching in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back. It's a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We're looking for X-Factor players who could make the big difference this weekend, but these can't be the stars of their team. So to the guy that tweeted us and said Aaron Jones, you're not quite grasping what we're doing here.
The feature back that's going to get 25 touches, I don't think you can use him in this particular game.
The fantasy stalwart who led a lot of people to championships?
Yes.
Not that guy.
Indeed.
We're looking to go down a tier or two, if you will. Let's go to that Packers 49ers game. Who's your X factor?
I got a couple guys I could pick, and they're both from San Francisco. I'm going to choose Kendrick Bourne in this game. He doesn't start, quote-unquote, in their base packages, but he's on the field all the time. He's a 30-catch, 358-yard receiver. Nothing special there, but 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a red zone threat.
He had a nice little streak where he was, I think it was like a touchdown a week for him. Nice little sneaky DFS start, low value there. But you're keying, if you're Green Bay, on Kittle. You have to. You're keying even on Debo Samuel. You have to, right? That's the playmaker. That's the 800-yard guy who's also running reverses, gimmick, things like that. Bourne sneaks around. He's not a bad player. I think he'd be an 800-yard, 5-6 touchdown receiver on a different offense. But this guy will sneak around, get himself a couple huge catches. I think he ends up with a touchdown in this ballgame. Kendrick Bourne is my answer.
It's a good one. Can I go Emmanuel Sanders? Or is he too good a player?
That's a great question.
Because they don't really operate through their passing game. Like, if you look at this past week.
If people know that guy, but he's, I think a lot of people are going to tune in and go, oh, Emmanuel Sanders is on San Francisco?
Here's why I say I should be able to. In the last month, here are his numbers. 2 catches, 9 yards. 3 catches for 61, he really broke out.
Mm-hmm.
3 catches for 25, and then in their playoff game against the Vikings, 2 for 33. If I'm predicting him to go, like, 7 for 114 in the touch, I think that works.
That counts.
If he's too good, The other guy in this game I'll give you is with the Packers. Tyler Irvin is the name.
Oh, sure.
Tyler Irvin basically came out of nowhere to play for the Packers at the end of this season. And he's the guy, you're like, who are you talking about? He's basically the running back slash receiver that they used on a million jet sweeps. He came from Jacksonville. He was with the Jaguars, active for 6 games this year. And they're going to jet sweep San Francisco's defense to death with him, I think. It's one of the new wrinkles for this offense they didn't have when they last played. And it's one of those things you do to try to slow down a fast defense.
Uh-huh.
Now, I happen to think it's a mistake because I think they can run with you. And when you give a guy the ball going out toward the edges, they'll track him down. But basically, you try to major in some misdirection so that they don't pin their ears back and just sprint right at the football.
Uh-huh.
They wait and see, okay, Jones is going that way. Is Irvin coming back the other way? Give them just something else to think about defensively in their front. So Tyler Irvin had 2 carries for 25 yards this past week. I think he'll probably get 2 or 3 carries. I could see him catching a pass. But where I say he's an X factor is maybe he makes a big play. Maybe he hits you for a 47-yard touchdown run.
Some field position changing big
moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. My second name for San Francisco, football folks will over-talk about this guy. Like he's the quintessential John Madden.
Kyle Juszczyk.
Type player, Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Now, he's not going to get utilized a ton in terms of touches, but he's such a capable receiver.
He's so good.
You think goal line stuff. I mean, he's out there as a lead blocker, knocking people into the dirt. But he's got some Tom Rathman to him, a little San Francisco throwback, where he can catch the football, and you got to account for him. And that's the beauty of San Francisco's offense.
I wish I still had this stat saved. It was something cool a few days ago, and I'm not right on the numbers, but it's along the lines of,
mm-hmm.
like, catches by fullbacks for more than 15 yards in the last 4 years. He has over 30, and no one else has more than, like, 8. It's a position that has gone away. It's not used. Only a couple teams even have fullbacks. And then the 49ers don't do anything without one. I think he played over 70% of snaps against the Vikings.
That sounds right.
He is on the field for that team, and they will use him. They'll line him up out wide. How many teams do that? Where they put a fullback out as a wide receiver, basically, and you just drag like an inside linebacker who doesn't run that well out on him.
Yeah, if you're going to be a fullback
today. Then he runs by you on a 9 route.
Yeah, you can't just do the, I find the biggest guy and, stick my head in his chest and try to drive him around. You got to be able to do more, and that guy does more. He's quick. He's got some power to him. And, they're not going to hand the ball off to him very often. The occasional, let's sneak a 3rd and 1 real fast and, maybe you're not ready for it, you give it to the up man. But for the most part, he's there to block, and then the 10th play, sneak out for some sort of nicely designed throwback pass or something out in the flat on a bootleg.
What's surprising to me is that he never became a tight end, really, because that was what happened. All the guys him just stopped being fullbacks. There was a transition period, Joe Gibbs 2.0 with that H-back role with like Chris Cooley. But then eventually he just became a tight end, and maybe it's a size thing. He's about 6'1".
Yeah, he's 6'1", 240.
Tight ends are generally bigger than 6'1", a little squattier and thicker. But I'm just surprised he wasn't like on the line of scrimmage, end of the formation, going out running routes because he's really, really good with his footwork, and he's got exceptional hands. I thought he was older than this, by the way, because he's been around forever, it feels like. He's only 28. He was with the Ravens for 4 years. He's been with the 49ers for 3. And it was just a really smart addition by Kyle Shanahan, who knew what he wanted to run when he got to San Francisco. Those are your X-factor players. We didn't build in today. We were not really going to talk about Shanahan versus LaFleur as a Redskins discussion. But I wonder if Skins fans, you think, have a preference here, with Kyle having obviously been more popular when he was here because he had a bigger role. But there's also a little more animosity toward him after he left,
mm-hmm.
than Matt LaFleur.
There's some animus towards the Shanahan.
I wonder if the Skins fans care at all one way or the other about who comes out of that matchup.
It's a great question. I don't have a firm answer on it. I think people were so unfamiliar with LaFleur and what he did.
And most Redskins fans probably didn't even know him when he was here.
Like, I honestly couldn't tell you what he was doing day to day. I mean,
you could probably guess. I mean, he's the quarterback's coach.
Yeah, so it's
he was running that room. He was quizzing those guys. He was working on their mechanics.
Yeah, basically saying, this is what Kyle wants, so we're going to do that, because Vic Shanahan's had their tentacles and everything. But to me, the name that rings out is Kyle Shanahan. And because that guy is obviously so intrinsically connected to Mike, and there's a faction of people that will just simply never forgive the way that it ended with them, there's more feeling about Kyle Shanahan. So I think most Redskins fans probably don't care one way or the other. The ones that do, if you do care, you hate Kyle Shanahan still.
Let's dig a little deeper into these games with our buddy Will Brinson next. Also want to get his thoughts on Ron Rivera's coaching staff, which was formally announced this week by the Skins. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Beltway Blitz at noon. Are we going with It's Fine today in lieu of the winning off the field segment we normally do?
I think we do it. I think we hold hands, Thelma and Louise style, and go off this cliff together. It's fine.
We'll give it a try.
It's fine.
Debut, It's Fine.
It's fine.
Will you tell us about little slights in your life coming up at 11:45? But right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our buddy Will Brinson, Ion NFL Blog, CBS Sports. Will, much appreciate the time as always. I want to start with the Skins here locally. Ron Rivera's coaching staff is complete. It's almost all former Panthers coaches as recently as a year ago. And on defense, Del Rio and a couple of people linked to Del Rio. They didn't really cast that wide of a net. We're not surprised, but we're asking, it's not like they were winning Super Bowls in Carolina. How should we feel?
Well, they went to a Super Bowl. You know, no, I mean, like, I don't think that is, I don't think it's surprising at all the way that Ron handled it. And I think I've seen some criticism, at least on social media, which, you know, whatever. But, I mean, people are like, oh, look at that. Like, Jack Del Rio's son is on the staff, and so-and-so's son is on the, like, you know, it's a, well, another case of, you know, NFL bubble. It's like, yeah, that may be true, and that is how the NFL works, and coaches do typically tend to hire people that they know. However, I would point out, one, that, like, if you get a job like this, as Ron Rivera did, you should make sure that you are bringing in people you trust, people you know that you can work with. You know, this Redskins thing has been so dysfunctional for so many years, guys, and as everybody who's listening well knows, that to me it makes a lot of sense for Ron Rivera to avoid any possibility of power struggles, avoid any possibility of, you know, like subterfuge. You don't need any of that. You need a staff that is cohesive, that is, you know, I mean, like PJ Fleck likes to say, you know, you're rowing the boat. And I think that's what Ron Rivera wanted to do. He wanted to get people he knows and people he can trust. Additionally, like, I get, you know, anytime you want to, people are like, oh, like Bill Belichick hired his son. It's like, well, do you think these guys are more interested in getting their buddies and their kids jobs than they are winning football games? Because I'm pretty sure, like Ron Rivera would fire Jack Del Rio's son if he was guaranteed a Super Bowl victory. You know what I mean? Like, it strikes me as odd that people think that these jobs are just going to the kids of coaches because, you know, the coach is on board. Like, he had to – the only reason Jack Del Rio is going to take this job is because he got his kid a gig. And that's – to me, that's a little preposterous. So I understand that maybe the concern that Ron Rivera didn't do this wide-sweeping – coaching search. But I think when you got to remember, Ron Rivera was fired with multiple weeks left in the 2019 season. He spent the remaining weeks of that year, that football season, preparing to take to find one job that he thought would fit him perfectly. He wanted complete control. And I fully believe that he spent those weeks deciding, all right, who would be the best possible coaching staff? So while it may feel like it went quickly and it does feel a little bit insular, you know, Ron Rivera has, you know, produced a lot of good coaches out of his tree before. You know, don't sleep on the fact that, like, Sean McDermott, who's killing it in Buffalo, you know, Kate was one of his defensive coordinators. You know, Steve Wilks, perhaps not a great head coach with the Cleveland Browns, but he certainly was somebody who, you know, got a head coaching job. Like, these guys have gone on to get these other gigs from Ron Rivera's tree, Rob Chudzinski, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, not a huge deal.
Well, let's go to the title games here this weekend. Tennessee's gotten the better of Kansas City a couple times here, and the conventional wisdom says Kansas City's offense is so good, it's cute that you run the ball, Tennessee, but now you're, you know, the Cinderella midnight clock has expired here, and it's time for them to go home. But they've gotten the better Kansas City a couple times. Why will they win this matchup in your mind?
Why will Tennessee or why will Kansas City?
Why will Tennessee win it?
Well, they won't. No, I'm just kidding. I think Kansas City will win. I think Kansas City is going to win by a decent amount. However, I do understand. Like, I do think there's a path for Tennessee to win. I mean, I think you're kind of foolish if you go into looking at a football game and ignoring the possibility that either, like, it's the conference championship. I mean, it's entirely possible that either team can win. And this is not going to be a stroll in the park for either favorite. To me, it sets up a lot like the Ravens and Titans game. And I said this leading into the game, and of course I didn't follow my own advice in the middle of the game and live bet it or anything, but I said whoever got up 10 points in the Ravens-Titans game first, whoever's up double digits first was going to win handily, because both of those teams are built to take a lead and protect it by being physical and downhill and aggressive on defense and running the football. I don't think that what the Titans can do, what the Titans did against the Ravens, you know, it blitzed everybody at the middle, forced Lamar Jackson to throw outside, leave man-to-man coverage with wide receivers on the outside. That ain't going to work against Patrick Mahomes. If you blitz everybody and he's just going to start throwing bombs to Tyreek Hill, and a couple of them are going to connect, and if not, Nyquan Harmon will get one. So I think Dean Pease is going to have to do something totally different. If they can come up with a scheme that attacks Patrick Mahomes early and forces a turnover or some three and outs, and they can get Derrick Henry running early or take some play action shots. You know, the first touchdown by the Texans was a really well-designed fake, it was a fake screen pass. They'd run a screen on third and one before. They do the fake screen on third and one. They play off Honey Badger's aggressiveness. Matthew comes flying in. They go up top to Kenny Stills. If you can sort of, I think you got to do something similar if you're Tennessee. Let Ryan Tannehill take a play action shot early on a first possession. Try to get a lead. And if you can do that and you can really grind downhill with Derrick Henry, you shorten the game. You force Patrick Mahomes. You know, what Lamar Jackson did was he sort of panicked and he felt he was pressing. And so you have to force Patrick Mahomes to do that. It's a lot easier said than done, but I don't think it's impossible. And if Tennessee can get that lead and can run downhill, I think they can pull it off. Chris Jones is a huge X factor here.
Will Brinson on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So that was a close game, 3-point game when they played before. You said it could be Chiefs handily. What about the other game that was actually lopsided before? Do you think that one's closer?
And by the way, worth noting in that Tennessee Chiefs game from week 10 or 12, I can't remember. It was week 12, I think, and the Packers San Francisco was week 10. The Titans actually came back from a touchdown plus three times in that game. Just worth noting. As far as San Francisco Green Bay, man, I don't want to count out Aaron Rodgers, and it feels like that's the easy thing to do, but I'll say this. If you look at what Aaron Rodgers did against Seattle, especially on third down, he was 7 of 9 for 121 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, just one sack, 6 first downs, and 8 of those attempts were on third or five or longer. So, I mean, like, they lived on third and long, and they converted it every time because Seattle was willing to allow – you know, Davante Adams to get singled up in situations where he just had a clear-cut advantage. They didn't really double him or didn't do a good job doubling him. He had 8 catches for 8 first downs. And so, I mean, Kyle Shanahan said it. He's not going to let that happen. I mean, they're going to put Richard Sherman on one side. And if Davante Adams is on that side, he's going to be smothered by Sherman. If they try to move Davante Adams around, I assume they're going to, you know, bracket him with a safety. So, can the Packers convert third downs if the 49ers can nullify the advantage they have with Davante Adams? I mean, Rodgers is going to have to be more mobile than he's been all year long. He's going to have to be, I think they're going to have to use a lot of bootlegs. That's what teams have done over the past few months to really succeed against San Francisco's defense. People keep pointing out the screen game is what you need to do too, but the Vikings tried it. It didn't work because Quan Alexander's back. If you look at Quan Alexander left, I think, in week 9 against the Cardinals. And from that point on until the end of the year, the 49ers were vulnerable to screen passes. Now that Quan Alexander is back, he's flying in there. He's snuffing out screens, and he did it against Dalvin Cook. So I don't know that that's the answer. And I just don't think that I think the Packers are a little bit fraudulent. I don't think they have quite enough juice to keep up with San Francisco. And if you get down to that San Francisco defense, you are in big trouble because that pass rush turns into like a boa constrictor and just snuffs the life out of whatever team is trailing. So I'll take San Francisco in a runaway here too.
Well, just quickly on San Francisco, where are we at with Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, the career record is what people love to point to, and it's exemplary, but I don't think I trust him enough to date my daughter just yet. Like, I trust him like mow my lawn, Judge Smales style, but I don't know. just give me kind of your feeling on him. He's a caretaker of a great team at this point, but do you think he can make some of those plays come winning time, fourth quarter, if they're down?
So I'm curious what you think about this. I think he's evil Kirk Cousins. So, like, if you flip those guys, in that game, the Vikings and the 49ers, nothing changes. They're the same. I mean, like, they have the same, like, production. You just give a guy a better coaching staff, better offensive coaching staff, better offensive line, better defense. I mean, I think that Cousins wins that game if he's the guy under center. But I think, like, Garoppolo is a little bit more clutch in maybe the big moments. And I tend to think, he dates porn stars. Kirk Cousins, you know, has his meat well done. I just think they're like the good angel, bad angel type of combo. I certainly wouldn't let him date my daughter. But I understand what you're saying, Danny. I think that I'm not quite there yet with him either. Let's see him play in a big game. But I mean, if he plays well against the Packers, and then all of a sudden he's up against maybe the Chiefs or Titans, if he wins a Super Bowl, there's not going to be any point in having the discussion anymore because he'll have that ring.
Will, much appreciated. Good info. Enjoy the games.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend.
Love having you on. Will Brinson on Grant and Danny, giving us some thoughts on the AFC and NFC title games set for Sunday. Next, it's not a double play because it's Friday, mm-hmm. which means winning off the field, but it's not winning off the field either because we want to keep you guessing. We've got a new segment that was suggested to us yesterday
based on
some fun segments we've done this week called mm-hmm. It's Fine.
It's Fine.
You call us and you tell us about little slights or annoyances or things that have happened that you didn't like, and you tell us that it's fine. We'll try this out next on Grant and Dan. Time to try to debut
what?
It's
what?
Fine.
It's fine.
What?
We'll mix it in on Grant and Danny if it goes well from time to time. It started because your former comedian pal, Camille Nanjiani, is a big superstar now.
Yeah, so he's in thank you very much, Danny.
By the way, I didn't know he was in another rom-com that's coming out right now.
It's called Lovebirds. He's got a show. Again, he's doing great. He's got a show on Apple TV that apparently is incredibly well received.
Is he still ever going to come on with us, by the way?
No, that's not going to happen. He's too big.
He was supposed to come on with us, and I was all excited about it.
I wouldn't say that.
Me either, Coach. We were having a fun debate about Wonder Woman. I mean, it was fun for me, and the internet people got very angry about it.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach. And we were going back and forth, and I was like, dude, you know what would be fun is if you just came on the show, we could talk about this. I think it'd be really cool, because it was when he was promoting Big Sick, his movie that kind of put him on the national map. People that are comedy fans knew about him for a while.
Yeah.
Thank you, Coach. He was on, so he's got a show called Little America on Apple TV, and he's in The Eternals coming up later this year for Marvel, where he got shredded. And, it was just a funny little bit of shtick where there's a bunch of people doing things together. One of those world famous, and the other one is sitting right here talking to you right now. And I just told everybody how fine it was. It's fine.
Johnny
says, I would not
say
that. I wouldn't say it either.
It's Fine is pretty much losing off the field, which we, the fans, suggested many years ago, but we're not mad that your producers will get all the credit now. It's fine.
That's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Brendan says he tried to redeem his 8-piece nuggets on the Chick-fil-A app yesterday. When he hit the button to pay, it glitched out and disappeared, but it's fine.
It's fine.
Let's go to John in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
All right, you guys are going to have to find a table so you can bang your head on the table for this one.
All right.
Yeah.
So my customer sends a picture to my boss. My boss calls me up. He says, John, I need you to go out and do this. And I'm going to describe you what's in the picture. Okay, boss, why don't you just send me the picture? Well, because I'm trying to describe you what's in the picture. Why can't you just send me what's in the picture?
Send
me the picture. It's not that hard. And he gets mad. He straight up gets mad at me. Just send me the picture, man.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It is fine.
That's fine. I mean, it's fine.
The picture's a visual thing. Why don't you allow me to visualize it?
I want you
by seeing it.
I need to describe the picture to you.
It doesn't make any sense, and that would infuriate me. But I guess for him, it is fine.
Like today, I have to send mail. In this day and age, I have to print something, sign it, address an envelope, and send it to somebody. It's fine.
I'm going on vacation in a few days, so I'm trying everything in my power, and I'm doing all the things that I can to eat as healthy as possible before I leave, knowing that I'm not going to eat very good on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, on a day in which I am wife and baby free, and I get to go out to a bar or a restaurant and eat whatever I want, I'm still going to have to eat healthy. I'm not going to be able to eat the things that I'd like to eat tonight, even though this is normally when I would go out and just go off the reservation. But it's fine. It's fine. I'm not upset about that at all because it's fine. Let's go to Pete in Vienna. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well. Pick Hannah Ann, by the way. She's a smoke.
All right. So I've got a 15-year-old daughter. She and her buddies going to see a basketball game for their high school. She's got a ride there. That's great. She asks if I can pick her and her friends up. No problem. Drive to the high school, ready to pick them up. Hey, I'm here. I'm at door one or whatever
it
is. Oh, I don't see you. Where are you? Different high school. And she proceeds to yell at me. What are you doing? It's not at this high school. How did you not know that?
That is perfect.
You didn't tell me. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That gives me hope that this segment can work. By the way, we've all been there. It's amazing to me how when communication is executed poorly, not by me, but by the person communicating to me, and then somehow that led to bad execution of a plan, somehow it's my fault.
And then imagine. This is what I was. This
I want all the information
you,
I need. Give me all the information.
And don't tell me just. Don't make it sound like it's easier than it is. Over-explain it to me.
Okay, I turd.
Thank you very much, Phyllis. But this is what I always like to do. Imagine if I didn't communicate properly and the situation's reversed. Imagine what the reaction would be.
Turd.
Actual war. Physical war.
Jake's in King George, my hometown, one of the greatest counties in the Commonwealth. What's
using
up, Jake?
The phone. Hi, Jake.
I agree there, Grant, you Hall of Famer. I ordered a calzone from one of the fine pizza establishments in town last night that doesn't deliver, no big deal. Went, picked it up, got home, opened the box, no marinara sauce.
Oh,
they
no.
forgot it. It's fine. It's fine. I had a jar in the fridge, just heated some up and ate it, but it's fine.
That's fine.
Everything's fine.
That's
By
fine.
The way, where did you order from? Oh, he's gone. As a King George guy, I would have liked to have known which of our establishments he ordered.
It's probably the pizza place.
There's a few. We got options.
He said he didn't want to say it on air because he likes going there so much.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
It's a place called Pizza Hut.
I would have been curious.
Right by him.
No. We've got a couple of mom and pop shops that are pretty good around there. But that's a perfect one, too. You get home. All I want to do is eat this meal. I've been thinking about it all day, and it's the condiments that I need. That they need to be there. They're not there.
They're not there.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'll deal with it.
David in Hughesville. You're on Grant.
Hi, David.
How's it going, guys? Great fan here. I got a good one for you. So last Saturday, talking to this girl, we're going on our first date. Okay. We're both diehard Capitals fans. I get us tickets, $250 tickets, to the Devils and Capitals game. Capitals have 30 wins, number one in the league. Devils have 15 wins, eighth in the division. I'm thinking it's going to be a great night. We're going to have a lot of fun. We get dismantled 5-1. Capitals have a 3-on-5 power play, and the other team scores. Horrible, horrible game night. But it's fine. It's fine.
You only spent $500. You were only hoping for a great game where you guys left there excited and feeling good about yourselves, wanting to carry the night on deep into the evening.
Like, does that ruin it? Like, that's the date. Like, if you both care about the game,
yeah,
it's just a fun thing you're doing. It's like you associate that guy with the worst loss of the season.
Well, also, you're probably not at every Caps game. So you spend a lot of money to go occasionally, and you were there for their worst game of the year. Carl Hagelin said on our show yesterday, it was their worst game of the year.
And I believe him.
It's fine.
It's fine.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Rich and Olney, how are you, pal?
Hi, Richard.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey. So I call in today to do my normal segment, winning off the field, and then realize there is no winning off the field. It's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's not a bad one from
it's
Rich.
It's fine.
Rich, who probably doesn't even listen to the rest of the show, he just waits for 11:45 on Friday, dials the number, and tries to get
in. He tunes in at 11:40 to make sure we don't have a guest.
Right.
And then, boom.
And he goes, okay, I'll do this. Couldn't do it today. It's the most fun. Tom in Manassas, how are you?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Good. Hey, Danny, I love you. Do I think that you should be jealous of Fiona's success and rise to stardom? No, but it's fine.
It is very fun.
Yeah,
Fiona is taking the first steps toward being a television star, I will say. Rave reviews yesterday. People were very excited to meet her. And there has been some talk about a
recurring role.
Recurring role.
That's right.
Have you given us one yet, by the way? And it's fine?
Yeah. I mean, I have to use the mail today.
That's it?
This is people. No. Don't dismiss that.
I like using the mail.
You should not. receiving letters, I guess, is fine. I mean, I guess that's okay. But I have to print something, sign it, and, like, find an envelope and then, like, a stamp and send this off to a person. In a day where we can scan everything, we can DocuSign.
That's tough.
It's, this is not 1986. I'm not using a rotary phone to phone you up. I can't believe I have to do it, but it's fine.
Patrick says, my tooth broke. I went to the dentist this morning. They told me they can't pull it until tomorrow. It's fine.
It's fine.
Why why get the tooth pulled now? D says, I deliver pizza in the evening, delivery to a hotel. Guy says I tipped online. I point out that there's no tip. He says, I used to deliver pizza, so I get it. Then tips me a dollar. But it's fine.
Do you get it, buddy? That's fine.
How much do you get it? Prices have gone up on tips since you delivered pizza. Our buddy,
that's absolutely ludicrous.
Nats Rally Malady says, went to go to the bank and lunch, left the bank, left lunch at work. So now, none of this makes sense. Let me try this again. It's fine.
Yeah.
This, I couldn't read it properly, but it's fine.
It's fine.
I went to go to bank and lunch, left bank bag at work. So just eating lunch. What's a bank bag?
Like what you had to do to go to the bank.
Oh, okay.
Like it's not a bag you're going to like load it's the money fine. In when you rob it.
I hope not.
It's not that.
I hope that's not what he's implicating.
No, that's otherwise we're
in the middle of something.
Yeah, like we're witnesses. If that was the case, he's not robbing a bank.
Beltway Blitz next. The Redskins and the Capitals. There is a weird rumor out there that Bill Belichick apparently inquired about the Redskins head coaching job.
Just thinking about how sure I am of that.
Never been more confident in that. We'll ask J.P. Finley about it next.
Be cool if Bill Belichick was the head coach and there was a chance that could have happened. That'd have been fine. It's fine that he's not, though. It's fine. Anyway, Danny Rauer here for my friends at Ted Britt Ford. Ted Britt Ford celebrating 60 years in the biz.
You know, Danny Rauer.
That's right. He's a big Ted Britt Ford fan, too. Celebrity. That guy can get on television, not this guy.
Danny Rauer.
He's a star. Had a show on Animal Planet. Tens of people saw it. Now, the point I'm making here. Oh, he opened up for Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
Did the Tyra Banks show for a while. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Ted Britt Ford's been doing this for 60 years. You don't
what?
Just luck buck. I know, it's surprising. You don't just luck your way into 60 years. You got to be good at this thing, okay? Ted Britt Ford has been doing this for six decades, getting you great new cars from Ford at great prices and treating you exceptionally well.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach. That's how you do this thing, all right? You don't just do that for a little while and then going to go back to some other way to do it. You got to compete, and they do it every day, and they win every day. Here's how they're doing.
I own a Mustang.
You could be just like that guy. 2019 Mustang. Save up to $9,000 off the MSRP and no payments for 60 days. That's great value, and you don't pay them much when you do pay them.
I own a Mustang.
You could be just like that. I already gave that offer, but that's fine, guy.
Now, I own a Mustang.
That's true. You could also own a different car like this. 2019 F-150 from Ted Britt Ford, $15,000 below the MSRP.
I own a Mustang.
And no payments for 60 days. Or you could be the Mustang guy that loves to tell people you got a Mustang. You can get it from Ted Britt Ford. Fairfax Chantilly. Look away at TedBritt.com, and when you go, tell them, I own a Mustang.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.